For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sleepers Podcast, Tuesday, June 25th. We're back, refreshed after a little weekend. I was up north. UConn hat, what is that?
You know what? I just decided that I'm just going to put like a winter hat on and be happy.
Oh, you were really grumpy on Friday, so this is like a foot in the right direction this week?
One can only hope so.
I certainly hope so. It sounds good to me. Did you have a good weekend? I heard you golfed well. Did you have a good weekend?
I shot 100.
It's a winning move.
I need to be better, don't I?
We're golfing together this week, right?
That is. I'm very excited about that with our new friend who just shoots under 90 now. Like,
it's crazy.
I'm still upset we just blew past that. Like, that was just another run-of-the-mill accomplishment.
Yeah, you really think you know a guy, and then all of a sudden you get the guy's just shot an 88 text, and you don't know a guy anymore. That's what happens. Should we address everything that is going on for us this week? Like, should we? It's a relatively big week for you and I personally, and as a tandem. Do we want to walk through that at all?
Let's just address it. Let's do it, please.
Okay, let's address it. We're going to Baltimore together this weekend.
Well, the other thing.
the actual thing.
Yeah,
we're golfing together in Baltimore this weekend. It should be dope. It's exciting.
That's what I was talking about.
And the NBA draft show we're doing with like 19 important people.
How important are they?
I don't know. It depends on your definition of important. By the time you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, there's a 50-50 chance that we have promoted this. So if you haven't heard of this, breaking news, spoiler alert, we are doing a live show for the NBA draft, and if you have already seen this on Twitter, you can hear more about it right now, but in typical Sleepers fashion, we sort of stumble our way into doing something, we shoot way too big, and it might be a disaster, or we might endear people to us. I guess we'll find out, but we sent a bunch of invites out. We got 19 of our closest friends to agree to this. And by closest friends, I mean two different people that are worth $2 million in the transfer portal college basketball market. An old ex of mine, Hunter Dickinson, Purdue's star point guard, who may or may not show. I don't know. We can't get a message back from him right now. And then some coaches, Chris Holtman, Drew Valentine, some media friends are going to be on this. Kevin Sweeney, Joe Jackson, Evan Miyakawa, Stephen Bardo. So I'm just naming names. I haven't named all the names. You can go look at the flyer if the flyer's out, or you can DM me on Twitter and ask what I'm talking about. But this is the most ambitious thing we've ever tried to do.
Are these big enough names that I am justified in standing up and hitting that Pope?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I was going to do it regardless, but now that I got, verification here, I can hit the Pope.
Some people are saying that DK is the originator of the Pope. How do we feel about that?
The thing is, though, DK could have been the originator of the Pope, but part of the Pope is having full body in it. DK is a 2 inches foam from the face, scream, feel my passion immediately.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. Quick thoughts on the NBA draft show. If you want to watch this, Wednesday night, live on the Sleepers YouTube channel, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll start 30 minutes before the first round of the draft tips off, and then it's two nights now. So the first round is Wednesday night. The second round is Thursday. We're only doing this for the first round on Wednesday night, but we expect the draft to go from around 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., but we will be live through it all with a bunch of guests, kind of a Manning cast style thing coming in and out. Quick frequently asked questions. Have we ever done a live stream before? No, not in this form. All our live stream stuff has been with Bleacher Report, which is awesome.
Respect pushing OJ.
Yeah, I guess that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
That doesn't make me feel better because 17 people watched that.
Well, it was at 10 a.m.
Not great. I guess this is our second real chance at a live show. But a lot of people have been asking us to do live content in the Discord recently, and we thought this would be a good, fun time to try it. Second question, is this through Bleacher Report? Is this through anybody else? What's the answer to that, Cart?
All us.
No. Yeah. We have been doing some live NBA draft stuff with Bleacher Report. We love them still, but this one is all us. So you watch it. All the proceeds go to us. Everything benefits us. We're very excited about this. Third frequently asked question, how did we get all these people?
I mean, can we be pretty just straightforward about it?
Well, we also might not get all the people, but yeah, sure.
Okay, but we are going to get them because this is the thing. We're different. If you haven't put your finger on that or smelled that or felt that yet, we're built differently than any other podcast, whether it is for good or for worse. We're just built different, all right? And we are still advocates of stay low and build, blue collar, whatever phrase you want to use. And Greg said we need to have a live draft show, and he says we need to hit up a bunch of people. And damn it, Greg was behind the scenes hitting up people. I was doing the bare minimum, but doing what was expected of me. And we made this come together, and it's going to be dope.
Pleasantly surprised by the amount of people and the importance of the people that said they are interested in doing this. All the names on the flyer, if we put it out by now. You know what? We should actually just read the names, shouldn't we? If the flyer's not out,
yeah.
Should we promote it real quick? Let me find the names for you. The names on the flyer. Tristan Newton, Alex Caraban. You may remember them from being the two-time defending national champions. Braden Smith, first team All-Big Ten point guard. Hunter Dickinson, my ex. Coleman Hawkins and Great Osabor, worth roughly a rumored combined $4 million this year. Allegedly, of course. Grant Nelson. Shout out to Riley Davis and Grant Nelson. Riley and you got to do a pre-record with Grant Nelson. Jeremy and Jeremiah Fears, Michigan State and Illinois. Fears brothers, Luke Goody, and Will Cheddar, because we needed Will Cheddar. I can't wait to ask Will Cheddar some Juwan Howard questions. Also, Drew Valentine, Chris Holtman, Ray McCallum, Stephen Bardo, Kevin Sweeney, Evan Miyakawa, Ryan Hammer, Joe Jackson. Special appearances from Young Mantis and that boy D. Hill. Himself, Deion Hill Ford, making his return to Sleepers Media. It's a great lineup. It's a lineup I'm really proud of. It's a lineup I'm really excited to be a part of because I would love watching this if I was not hosting this. And Riley Davis, Brian Ralph, heavily involved, of course. Jacob Karabatsos behind the scenes. So this has truly been a team effort. Like I said, I keep waiting for any/all of these people to back out. But as of the time of recording this, it's 6:17 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. We have like 16 people confirmed for their time slots, and we're waiting on three more that we have written confirmation that said they want to do this. So, I think this is going to happen. I hope it goes well. Bear with us if it doesn't, because we're going to give it a try, but I think it should be really fun.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, what will make it great, besides the actual, you know, just interaction between us and the people on it, is we're going to be having it as a live show on our YouTube channel. So hopefully people can be in the chat, getting involved. I think we work our best when we're feeding off of just people interacting with us. Like, that is a skill set of ours. And I think that's, I'm hoping that, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people tuning in, getting active in the chat. This is my first live stream since besides pushing OJ, since I live streamed myself eating 38 pancakes before the national championship game. So I'm very excited to get back in the scene.
Yeah, I mean, let's also not act like we haven't done a live stream like on the red couch with Robbie Hummel and a bunch of NBA players like 3 months
ago. I did kind of forget about that, didn't I?
Yeah, like we are really acting like we don't know how live works, and we've had some cool live moments. So this one's just cool because it really truly is an us production for the first time.
I broke the rule, G.
What'd you break? What rule?
I have to act like I've been there.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's okay. Yep. We don't have to. We can still act like it's insanely stupid that we're even trying this. Because can we? You know how we do the best case, worst case thing for players? Can we do best case, worst case for this event real quick?
Oh, God. Yeah, sure.
Let's start with worst, because that's what we always do. What's the worst case scenario for this event?
Probably me trying to play a song, but not realizing we're on YouTube, YouTube, and it gets copyrighted and the stream shuts down immediately.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen for sure. My worst case includes like the days leading up to this event, where like maybe some enemies of ours like hear that this is happening and like pull as many strings as they can to shut this down. I'm afraid of that happening. I'm afraid of like every player just not responding to us. Honestly, I'm afraid that Hunter Dickinson has like agreed to do this, and then in the meantime has texted all of his little friends and been like, fuck those guys. We're going to all say yes to this, and then we're going to not actually do it.
I'm sick that I respect that move. I hope he does not.
It could happen. Like, I'm really afraid of that.
I really wish you kept that to yourself.
Yeah, I know. I'm terrified. But that's the worst case. What's the best case that could happen?
The best case scenario is that our ops weep at the sight of our success of this show.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. I would like that outcome.
Do you even have a best case scenario in your head?
I don't know. Do I have ops? Do we have real ops?
I mean, in my head, we do.
I might need a scout from you on who our ops are. The best in my head would be like everyone actually shows up and the stream never like just shuts off. Like, I'm very worried the stream's just going to crash because our producer's on vacation.
We are forgetting that, aren't we?
Let's just, to be clear, we booked 19 people that are worth roughly $14 million to do a live show with us when we've never done a live show on the one week that our paid producer we've been paying for 2 months is unavailable because he's on vacation. That's what we did.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see where this goes. Do you have a YouTube comment of the day?
I got a haircut Wednesday morning.
Oh, nice. Did you schedule that specifically for this?
Yes.
That's very exciting to me. You're going to look great.
I got to come with a good cut.
You're going to look great.
Yeah, it's half the battle. This one comes from Krim44. Avisic is very slept on. I think he's an Illinois fan. Dude played in a top 10 professional league with former NBA guys. Frank Kaminsky plays in that league. He's strong, quick 7-footer with good post moves and touch. Also a 40% 3-point shooter. He'll cook the Big Ten right away. Antigua also coached Kofi and Chiwe to first team All-American status, by the way. Watch out. Him and Merez are going to be crazy. Are we sleep on Big T?
It could happen, but also like Big T averaged 9-5 at the Euros. So like I don't view 9-5 at the Euros as like impact Big Ten player. I just don't.
Yeah. Also, whether this is fair or not fair, the Avisic family is under investigation.
Why?
I'm watching them.
For what allegation?
They might be over the water merchants.
Interesting.
I want to see it here. I want to see it not in one game against Texas A&M. I want to see something.
Yeah, I mean, let's be as real as we can about this. It seems like conventionally everyone thinks Big Z is the better brother, and Big Z was horrendous this year in college.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a big unknown. I hope it happens. I loved the Big T ad because it's fun and promising, but it's completely uncertain. It's very, very uncertain. That's okay. Okay. Should we go to the Discord cart?
Please.
I don't have the Discord pulled up at all. Do you?
I don't, but while you're doing that, I will let everybody know that once again, if you want to support the little guys, me and Greg, and everything that we do and all the content that we post and all these videos that we're recording, the best way to do that is by joining the Discord. And once you join the Discord, I think you'll understand why. One, you'll be contributing to us and supporting us, but also you'll find yourself in a nice little community, nice little niche area, spot, whatever you want to call it. I think you'll find yourself immersed in it and you'll enjoy it for the most part. So $9.99 a month, join on your desktop. It's how you support us. And I would love to be supported.
Yeah. And if you join the Discord and or watch the show, then we get sponsorships from people like 2K Lab, which is basically the coolest collection of people that play 2K and help you play 2K. They make a bunch of really cool things. They have a mini games site that is just the coolest. You can literally go in to the site and basically simulate the entire NBA draft, take control of a franchise. You see our big board featured on the site. It's fantastic. You also can guess where players are. They have a big like guessing game eliminator that's really, really fun. They also tell you about the best player builds, jump shots, etc. NBA 2K Lab has been the perfect partner for us as we've worked on all this NBA draft content and leading up to the NBA draft live show. NBA2KLab.com, link in the description of this video. I was scrolling through the Discord comments on the way to this moment in time right now. I'm dreading today's Discord comments so much. I'm dreading them so much.
One sentence rule.
This is from I Maynor. I had a dream years and years ago that I was picking up a new copy of the college basketball video game and a white boy from Duke was on the cover. So I assumed it was Grayson Allen, but my interpretation was wrong. It was Cooper Flagg, and the prophecy will be fulfilled next year.
Yeah, Cooper's going to be really good. You've been seeing that footage of him in those 5-on-5 scrimmages?
He's crazy, yeah.
Oh, that left inside-out hezzy he had on Man-Man into the punch was special. Yeah.
No, the thing with Flagg is like he is the supreme athlete and like supreme shot maker, supreme defensive tools and all that. The most special thing about Flagg to me is like how quickly he processes things. Like he looks to me to be like an elite ball screen ball handler guy because of the passing and the hezzies that he has. You're not supposed to be able to do that at the size that he is. Like people are not going to like this comp. It reminds me of Ben Simmons, college Ben Simmons, where like, you are way bigger than you're supposed to be, and you're a point guard.
But Cooper Flagg actually loves basketball.
Cooper Flagg loves basketball, and, like, I don't know. It could be what we hoped Ben Simmons was. That's kind of the vibe that I get from Cooper Flagg.
Oh, interesting.
We'll see. Same Old Lion says, apparently Boom Fizzle's roommate lost his cat. He seems highly unbothered by this. Is it time for us to consider calling PETA on him? The Discord is concerned for the well-being of this cat.
I don't think calling PETA is necessary. I will say this. I had a running theory, and it still is a running theory, even given the passing away of the Boom Fizzle's beloved cat, which, by the way, I send all my prayers to. But I had this theory that cats don't actually die. Like, most cats just run away and or live forever.
So, you don't think a cat has ever died?
No.
I mean, I'd be interested in fleshing that out a little bit. It seems unlikely, but I guess
I think cats either live forever or they just run away.
Do you think anything dies?
Yeah.
Do you think we die?
Yes.
But we, like, do you think we live forever ever?
I personally am going to make a choice just to die. I'm just going to cut it off right there.
We could do a whole episode on the afterlife, couldn't we?
We could. You don't want to see afterlife, me, because I'll have freedom.
Oh, man. Moving on. Guy says, now that J.J. Redick is head coach of the Lakers, Duke is stuck with John Shire. My Fire Shire narrative isn't going to get filled. We are witnessing the death of a blue blood, and it isn't Villanova.
Duke's going to be really good this year. They're fine.
Yeah. Also, have you seen the J.J. Redick clip today?
Yeah, a lot of cussing.
Do we like that or not like that?
I'm a JJ guy.
I'm a JJ guy too. Man, there are a lot of people who would not be given the benefit of the doubt that JJ is being given right now if in their intro presser they decided to say, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people. That would not, we would not have cute little clips like, haha, look how funny this is. We would have like, let's just be real. This guy has never coached. And the first thing he does is at his intro presser is just pop off for the viral moment of saying, I don't give a fuck. Like, and I like the sentiment behind it, but it is a huge indication and a sign to me that this dude is like, just, he better win. Cause like, this is not how you are supposed to behave in that role.
That clip's going to get, if it doesn't go well, good Lord. Also, he did give us some great, great like meme material. Like, I saved that clip of that video to use for future references.
I want to be clear. I love the clip, but I'm watching that play out and I'm like, I can't believe, like, imagine if Monty Williams did that. Like, imagine if any other coach in the league did that. Everyone would just be like, this guy's a total joke. Clear-headed Illini fan says, I just went at the grocery store and I thought I saw Greg. I went up, introduced myself and said, I'm such a fan of your work, took a picture. But when I brought up sleepers, he seemed confused. It turns out it was just some dude named Mr. Beast.
LOL.
Ha ha. Andre L says, Carter, I'm on your side. The Cannon Painter thing. Cannon Catching's Painter discussion from last week. Don't let him get you down. Just because a dude can draw up a killer action on the whiteboard doesn't mean he's Jesus, and it doesn't make his words gospel. Wanted to mention this because it looked like the life was draining out of you in that YouTube video. The haters were weighing heavy.
Yeah, I let him win. I let him win last week. And I'm not going to let him win anymore.
It's unlike you to let the haters win, Cart. Normally, you always get the best of them.
I know. I don't want to do that anymore.
That was strange. Let's not do that again. I Maynor says, we are probably 10 years at most away from the ACC and Big 12 being gobbled up by the Big 10 and SEC. Can you draft 5 teams each to join the Big 10 and 5 to the SEC? And there's a specific ask for you to do the Big 10 and me to do the SEC.
Okay, so I get to take 5 teams from the ACC and what was the other conference?
ACC and Big 12.
Okay. I want Kansas. I want Baylor. I want Houston. I want Iowa State. And I want Miami.
Okay. Horrible draft by you. And I feel like we flipped this because I would have wanted to draft these teams to the Big Ten. But immediately I'm scooping up North Carolina and Duke. Like, those are priority 1A, 1B for me. Did you already do, I guess Texas is already gone. Texas Tech?
I did not take them.
I'm going to take Texas Tech, TCU. And did you take Kansas?
I did, yeah.
Kansas State?
I did not take Kansas State.
Texas Tech, TCU, Kansas State are my additions.
Solid draft.
Yeah, it's a good draft. Sleeve Nash says, how many times do you use a towel before you wash it? My prediction is Greg is 6 and Carter is 2.
I think like, yeah, normally 2. No longer than 4.
6 is mad disrespectful. My number is 3. My number is always 3. It's 3.
3.
That's mad disrespectful. D. Crump says, is it time to reevaluate not having Duke in the preseason top 5? Let's just put it like this. If they don't have any major injuries, they don't make the Final 4. This season is a failure, and everyone is going to be ripping Shire. I think that means they should be top 5 preseason, not 8th or 9th.
I have them top 5.
I have also moved them up to the top 5, but I just want to say this. The fact that people don't have them in the top 5, despite us all agreeing their roster's that good, it's a clear indication that nobody trusts Shire. If we did trust John Shire more, this team would be 3rd on everybody's list.
Should we trust him more?
You and I got to figure that out. But I'm like, nationally, the people that would put Duke 1st if they believed in John Shire have them 8th because they don't.
And I'm not mad at it. I mean, because you look at the coaches before, like, coaches of trust.
Yeah, got to earn it. More Duke propaganda. I Maynor says, thoughts on Duke's starters and key rotation guys after seeing the scrimmage highlights. I Maynor has Proctor, Foster, Sion, Cooper, and Man, with Khan, Malik Brown, and Patrick Ngangba as 6, 7, 8.
Where's Isaiah Evans in there?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. How did Big Pat get in the fold?
Where's Gillis? Gillis is nowhere to be found. Also, Gillis in the practice footage is nowhere to be found.
That's good.
I think Gillis may be a little out of his league with these talents.
He doesn't matter there?
He matters, but my whole, like, maybe Mason Gillis starts for them shit is dead immediately. You watched 5 minutes of this practice footage. He is out of his league.
I can't believe Con Canupel's nice.
I still am holding out theory that he might not be.
That he still might be Jaden Shooty.
I mean, the film looks good, but like I everyone's making this out like it's too obvious. I don't think it's that obvious. My five, I think, is the same. I also have a theory that Caleb Foster is not going to start by the end of the season.
Not by the end of the season?
Yeah, like he's going to be the day one guy, and he's going to struggle, and by the end of the season, he'll be out for somebody else.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
I think it might be Proctor, Sion, Isaiah Evans, Cooper, Man.
That front court is ridiculous.
It's a really, really good team. Follow-up from I. Maynard, there's a bunch of players on Duke and recruits, past and present, that they all got from Paul the 5th or 6th. I don't know what that Roman numeral is, Catholic. What are some of your favorite recruiting pipelines that you have seen a school have?
I'm not going to do the cheat code. I'm not going to do prep schools because, like, obviously, the Mountain Burrs of the world. That was a good shot with the Paul V. That got some really good high school players. DeMatha was one of my favorites. DeMatha was really good. They had Hunter Dickinson went there. Oladipo went there. Who else went to DeMatha? They always had good – always. Quinn Cook went to DeMatha. They're asking, like,
pipeline to a school.
Oh, to a specific school.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn, I don't know if I can think of one that's just – that's not like just Mount Verd or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, has anything with Michigan State come to mind of like, oh, they're at that school. That's a sweet spot for us.
Maybe La Lu.
That's the one that was coming to mind for me too.
That's kind of cheating though, but probably La Lu.
Yeah. And even La Lu, it's like, it wasn't like a bunch of their dudes were coming to either of our schools. You know what I mean? It's just and Jaron together and a fun class that couple of years with Tiger Campbell involved. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. We'd have to think a little more on that. I. Maynard says, thoughts on Ryan Garcia testing positive for steroids. I thought it was interesting because many people I see who want Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame are killing Garcia right now.
I hate the steroid conversation.
Why?
Just because I think if you took them, you took them.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So you're pro steroids?
No, because I can't get my hands on them. They're more readily accessible than I'd be pro steroids.
Have you ever taken steroids?
I've attempted to purchase steroids, yes.
Actually? Mm-hmm. When?
I mean, I don't know the exact day, but I was just like fed up with it. I was like, why am I going through this when I can just purchase some steroids?
This makes me think you're also an Ozempic user.
Not yet, but I'm looking into it.
You're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm most certainly not.
I'm rattled by this. I don't have any thoughts on Ryan Garcia. Not my area of expertise. I'm not interested in the sport. Sorry. I know that turns me off to a lot of people, but I'm just not. I can't get into fighting. Can't do it.
You're not a fighter. You're a lover.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not even, you are a fighter, though.
I'm a verbal fighter. If there was like just... Yeah. Yeah, just if there was like UFC, but just screaming at each other, I would watch that.
Yeah, if there was like boxing, but all it was that's, tongue lashings.
You know what that is? That's battle rap. And I love battle rap.
There it is. You're wrong.
Yeah, that's literally that. And I love it. I can't get enough of it. Dylan Terpstra says, rank these three guards on how good they will be next season. VJ Edgecombe, Trey Johnson, Jahlil Bethea.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ooh. That's three of my favorites.
I have an obvious.
I'm gonna go VJ.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Trey Johnson and then Jahlil.
I'd go Jahlil 2, Trey Johnson 3, just because you've talked me into Jahlil so much.
Also Trey Johnson a little more packed backcourt because Pope's on Jordan Pope's on the team. So.
Yeah, and Tremont Martin. Yeah, two guys to get the ball. I think VJ is like separation from the others, though. That VJ video that surfaced this weekend.
Him at the Bahamas.
Insane. Also, shout out to Tum Tum.
Also, Team Bahamas is nice.
Tum Tum Nairn's on the team.
Like, no, but I'm like looking at, I'm like, there's Buddy Hield, Aiden. Who else is out there? Well, I was like, there's no way. I got to go back and look at the video, but I was watching. I was like, wait, this dude's from the Bahamas?
Yeah, VJ was busting everybody's ass. Everybody's ass.
I think Naz Reid was there too.
Yeah, that's crazy. Purdue Fox says, which big name for your draft show gave you the most oh damn reaction?
Probably one of the UConn guys.
Which would be who? Pick one.
I would say Tristan Newton, because it was organic.
Yeah, Tristan Newton, in the middle of us trying to reach out to a bunch of people, I stayed away from reaching out to people that are actually going to get drafted because it's a big night for them and you don't want to, like, we're not important enough to distract any of those people. But Tristan Newton, I think, stumbled into our NBA draft scouting report series, which you can watch on the channel. And he liked what we said enough to message us and essentially say he appreciates it. So I shot my shot in the middle of that. That's how Tristan Newton has agreed to come on the show. Hopefully he can actually make it happen. But that was the most oh damn to me, because it did happen completely organically. Outside of that, I am very excited that Hunter is involved and in the process of getting Hunter, because this has been years in the making, Cart. We've flirted with a Hunter Dickinson sleepers appearance for like 2 years.
Literally. And
in the process of getting Hunter, there was a point where I got a text from someone that said, yeah, I'm going to get this in coach's hands tomorrow. We'll see what he says. So like the idea that Bill Self has to be like asked about us and come up with an answer was my favorite thing that has ever happened to me. And apparently the answer was good because we got approval. Let's see here. Moving on. Sleeve Nash said, happy Will Riley Sunday. Yeah, happy Will Riley Day. Dreadhead Dev Royal King says, how long till Holtman runs the state of Illinois?
Give it 2 years.
Love Chris Holtman. I hope it happens. B. Butch says, Carter, as a baseball hater, would you rather have to watch every Tigers game for the rest of your life with no phone or other distractions during the games, or have Michigan win the next NCAA tournament? This is a great question.
The Tigers won.
You would rather watch every single Tigers game forever. You are forced to sit down and watch it. It's a 3-hour ordeal and you can't touch your phone.
Mm-hmm.
162 times a year for the next 70 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather do that every day, every night.
Yeah.
Than just give me one title that makes me happy.
Yes.
That's crazy. Also, that's such an obstacle to you.
Why?
You would get 1 year into this and despise it. You would not ever get into baseball. You would hate your life. Your family would hate you. You'd have to turn down fun things with Meg and others. With how busy you guys are, imagine you go every single weekend. You're out of the state traveling. Imagine that in the middle of that, you're like, oh, no, I got to watch the Tigers tomorrow at 1:00.
Counterpoint to that, all this travel is starting to get to me. If I can get a reason to not travel, I'm in.
Your son would be raised a baseball fan.
Baseball players are paid.
Not all of them. Guy says, what are your guys' reactions during a big rainstorm? If I had to guess, Carter is an we needed it guy. And Greg counts how long the thunder and lightning take to determine their distance from his location.
I'm not an we needed it guy, but I did catch myself during the rain last week saying this is kind of nice because I don't have a sprinkler system at my home. So if I don't, like, if I don't get rain, then I got to like water my grass or like set up a sprinkler out there. So like rain naturally helps with that. But I'm also more so just like, I love a good rainstorm, to be honest with you. Like I'll nice little rainstorm, maybe fire up a show or throw on a game, get real, you know, get under a blanket, light a candle. Saying maybe a little scooch over to the wife ski. You know what I'm saying? I like a little rain to set the mood.
A little scooch over to the wife ski.
A little scoot over to the wife ski, you know what I'm saying? A little scoot in the boat.
The craziest sentence that's ever been uttered on this program. No, my wife is a count how long the thunder and lightning takes to determine their distance girl. She does that. It drives me insane.
Really?
Yeah, I am very much just like, it's storming. It storms.
What's your favorite childhood Wise at Thunder and Lightning like story? Like, did your parents give you the whole they're bowling up in heaven thing?
I never got lied to like that.
Oh, I did.
What was yours?
My parents would be like, yeah, that loud noise, that thunder, it's God and people in heaven bowling.
Understood. Crazy. Okay. Let's move on. Natalie Rose says, have you guys ever sang karaoke at a bar? I just sang Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette, and it was a moment.
What, do you know what song that is?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I love karaoke. I do. Quick karaoke story, though. The first time I did it in front of people, like non-family members, I was on a cruise with Meg, my now wife, and they had a karaoke night. And that was my first time actually doing it with like a machine, I guess, a karaoke machine. And I didn't realize that the words don't go like right away. They got to like light up and you read them along. So my dumb ass went up there and I did Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. And I started reading the lyrics before they even started going. So it was just like an awkward silence when I'd already got past the verse, but I wasn't supposed to start yet. So I'm a little scarred from that. But besides that, I love the karaoke session.
Mm. Okay. Noted. Appreciate that insight from you. That just means the world. Hand in My Pocket. I don't know how it gets up to this moment. It's like, I got one hand in my pocket and the other one. Yeah, it was a good little Alanis impression.
Never heard it.
It was a banger. Boom Fizzle says, Coy and I, unbeknownst to each other at the time, were attending the same wedding in Indianapolis this weekend. What is the over-under on total number of sleepers at any random Midwest gathering?
I'd set the line at like 2.5.
I mean, I think it's crazy that Coy was at a wedding with Boom Fizzle. That's awesome. I'd love to know the connection there. Also, why didn't we get a picture of them two together?
Oh, I thought Coy took Boom Fizzle. I thought it was like a plus one situation.
No, I don't think so. I think they like just showed up and were like, wait a second, I think Coy's here.
What the hell? Yeah, why do we not have a pic?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. They should get booted from the Discord from that.
Yeah. I mean, insane. We really needed a pick. Okay. All right. We have a few more. Purdue Fox says, what's your take on the Jordan stat padding incident? The guys responsible are all bronze stands, and it would appear as if every player benefits from this, unless you're Caitlin Clark, who gets turnovers because her teammates lack basic motor skills at times.
Eventually we're going to have to discuss Aaliyah Boston because I'm fed up. Anything that downplays some of the things that Michael Jordan did, because he does get a lot of credit, I feel like he gets graded on a curve a lot, even though he is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I haven't seen a GOAT get graded on a curve like him in a long, long time. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I don't love that. I have no real thoughts here. I think that this argument will be made against LeBron one day. That's all I would say. Like, you can make the stat padding argument against any player anytime. But I think there is some truth to it, too. Ulamog says, can you do a comparison on how Purdue and Illinois handled their incoming blue-chip recruits? One was chased out because of his demands, while the other came in to start. What does this say about the culture of each program and what each program is willing to do to win?
They're willing to do whatever. Which you should be, by the way. Like, win the what's that phrase? You play to win the game. Hello? Like, do whatever means necessary. Mm-hmm. Whether it's chasing off your own family member, whether it's chasing off your point guard, chasing off anybody, if it leads and results in winning, do it.
So you're more pro the Illinois side of this than the Purdue side of this, I would say, like based on how they built their roster, you think it's better the way Illinois has?
Personally, yes.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't know. I don't know what to make of any of this. I think I just think player retainment really matters. Shout out to Evan Mia, who put a study out about this last week. So it's all good to like run your players out until they're actually out, and then you have to start over every single year. We'll see. Sleeve Nash says, Greg, I have this feeling that you put me and you in a phone booth. You still couldn't guard me. You strike me as a guy who is slow laterally. You were the kid in high school who was stuck in concrete on the defensive end. Good shooter, though.
I wouldn't say you're slow laterally.
I'm definitely slow laterally, but I like hearing that out loud, like you strike me as a guy who's slow laterally is one of the craziest things that's ever been said about anyone, let alone me. Like you gotta bottle that up for the future. You're trying to like make an enemy out of someone. You strike me as someone who's slow laterally. Like you automatically win the argument. Same old lion says, with more rumors coming out now for the Pistons, who would each of you like to see leading the team? A few of the names currently reported locally are James Borrego, Micah Norrie, JB Bickerstaff, Chris Quinn, Kenny Atkinson.
I think Kenny Atkinson just got hired. I really don't know anybody besides Monty, to be honest with you. I'm with you, G, in this regard. Like, coaching is not as important as I think it is in the NBA.
Yeah. I would like to see Chris Quinn get a shot. Just to have it. I would like to see Chris Quinn get a shot. Dylan Terpstra says, I think a lot of people are underrating Oregon next season. I have them third in the Big Ten and fringe top 25 overall. I think Shelstad will be awesome next year, plus Bamba, Raheem Moss, Kwame Evans.
I like those pieces. Third in the Big Ten's insanity.
It's not that crazy. As long as you don't put them over Indiana, Purdue, like I can buy it. I think Oregon's in that next tier.
I'd like a stat check on the anytime TJ Bamba's finished in the top half of his conference in any conference he's played in.
I think you're being really rude about TJ. Maybe Oregon could unlock him. We will see. I think we have like two more here. Sleeve Nash says, can I get your top five most underrated players going into the season next year? Keep this Big Ten oriented. My list is Thomas Lavovicic, John Blackwell, Zach Hicks, Josh Dix, Connor Asijan. Zach Hicks, Josh Dix back-to-back was the tongue twister.
Yeah, and not in a good way. I'm going to go Fears. I'm going to go Booker. I'm going to go Zapala. I'm going to go Cohen Carr.
Stupid.
And Jay Nakins.
It's really stupid. Underrated players going to next season. I will go John Blackwell. I will go... I damn near want to say Braden Smith. Fletcher Lawyer, John Blackwell, Josh Dix. I like that shout. I want to say Trey Donaldson, but I know you'll kill me.
I won't. Go ahead. No. So I'm gonna say one you're gonna kill me for besides the five I just said.
What?
It's gonna happen, Greg.
Who?
We're going down to the Terps. We're going down to the two spot.
Harris Smith.
We're going down for a sophomore bounce back.
You know what? I actually like that in this exercise. Like, he is as underrated as underrated can get. So I like that shout.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a fifth that's coming to mind very easily. Devin Royal, surprised he didn't give you a shout.
Yeah, well, let me go ahead and do my real one instead of just naming five state players. Fears is in there for me. I do think he's going to have a good year. I'll go Sean Harris Smith, Blackwell, Brock Harding. And I'm gonna keep Dev Royal. I'm gonna hold my Dev Royal stock, even though that front court kind of log jam scares me a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, good question. Deacon Sully says, rank the top five Discord members in here you would least want to meet.
Least want to meet?
Yeah. I also can you not? Don't lose us more people. We already lost enough people this weekend.
Yeah, no, it won't. I'm going to go Sleeve Nash, Spartan Dog 101, Brenvin, Ulamog, and Luke.
I don't want to meet Fam because I know Fam will be sad if his cover is destroyed. So I want to keep the privacy that Fam has earned private. I also know who you are, Fam, but that's respect. I didn't even need to say that. You knew that I knew that, but I love you, Fam. I also don't want to meet Sully because that would mean, like, if I meet Sully, I'm meeting Sully on Sully's terms. Like, he's just going to pop up in the middle of the night one night. I don't want to meet that. Everybody else I would like to meet, I think. There's a couple sure? ex-Discord members I don't know if I want to meet, but...
Do I name them?
No, I don't want to name him. Motto CBB says, all this talk about Ty Rogers having no basketball skills begs the question, which NBA player has done the most with the least amount of skill?
What NBA player has done the most with the least amount of skill? I don't know.
Jason Grant Tatum. Williams? Jason Tatum.
Oh, Greg. Come on.
It's fun, man. It's fun.
It isn't fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. Okay. Sorry, we got more yeses coming in on this draft show right now, so I'm like trying to hold my excitement. Coleman's Burner says, the first meal you have to eat is a pig ear. I don't know what that means. Sleeve Nash says, over under Braden Smith triple doubles this year. 2.5 over under.
Over.
I'm gonna take the under because triple doubles are hard. Those are really hard, but I think he'll be like flirting with it every single night. Derek says, over under Chucky Hepburn triple doubles this year. 2.5
under.
Let's see. Final two. Jack J7 says, please rank go-kart racing as an activity.
Me personally, I'm not the biggest go-kart guy because typically in those, I'm just, my legs are too long to be in the go-kart. You're kind of crushed in those. I'm not a real big go-kart guy.
Yeah, Kart's a large human. He's a big boy. Big fella.
A big fella.
It's hard to, big hard, fella. It's hard to get Kart in a cart.
A lot of mass.
Hard to get Kart. It's always been hard to get Kart in a cart. I was laughing at this because I was at like a family reunion type thing this weekend. Actually sick. The house that we were at, shout out to my uncle. My uncle like just retired and he lives in Virginia. And apparently his dream for forever, he has family on both sides. His side and his wife's side are from Michigan originally, like all extended family. And then people are all over the country now because we're all grown up. And for his retirement gift, he wanted to rent this massive, like it was like a cabin, but it felt like a mansion. It felt like where the TV show Traitors, if you've ever watched Traitors, the UK version, on Hulu or whatever, it felt like it was in that house. It slept 22 people. It was insane. And it was owned by like an art dealer. So this massively rich person just had like his own original art all over the walls, like statues, everything in every room of this house. And there was a whole in-cabin gym in the basement. And there was like signed memorabilia from Joe Namath, Joe Montana, Muhammad Ali, all these just hugely famous legends that literally said like, to Mark, like, thanks for all you've done for me. So whoever owns this, like, I'm terrified of him. It's crazy. Coolest shit I've ever been. That besides the point. It was like 30 people I have not met before. And like the family that I do know. But it was a lot of like, hey, this is who this is. Extended family on his side. We don't know. So we're just like boying up, drinking, having a couple days. Nice little trip. We brought Murph up there. It was great. And in the process, like, I think some of my family was like kind of telling people like, oh yeah, like Greg actually like does a podcast for a living now. And so people would come up to me and try to ask me like, so what do you do? And I would have to explain it. And I got like really down the rabbit hole with this really nice man last night at the end of the night where we're just like drinking. He's a sports fan. We're chopping it up. And I'm trying to explain the Discord to him. And he's like, so people just get to like ask you whatever you want. Like, what do they ask you? And I like had to get to and this exact comment is like what I pulled up to show him. Like, yeah, like I got this dude who just out of nowhere wants to know, like, how do we rank go-karts as an activity? And this is what I do for a day-to-day now. It makes no sense and it's awesome. I really like go-karting though. I love it.
Okay. I'm glad we can get to that point.
Sorry, it was a long way there, but I thought it was worth doing it. Final comment. Sorry
for doing something like that when I literally go off on tangents every other comment.
I thought it was a good take because it's like you try. Have you ever had to explain like what we do to people? And like I got thrown off by the question of like, so what do the Discord people ask you?
I don't think people like in my life really care about what I do.
That's not true, but okay. Final comment is from Jack. It says, how likely is it that Illinois' starting lineup in game one is Bam Bam, Will Riley, Ty, Hum Rickhouse, and Avisage?
Actually sounds more likely than I think he's leading on.
I think there's the same likelihood of that as about 11 other lineups. I think there's a total, just somebody's the odd man out and nobody knows. But the point that Kasperis could be what people don't think he is a fair one to raise for sure. Woo! Thank you, comments. Great job, Cart. Let's get to the show. Topic number one today is a debate that has been raging in the Discord all day. I would say this was an iconic day in Sleeper's Discord history. Like, just the amount of activity. Like, people were in mid-season form today, maybe preseason form. So it was a little more on edge and hot takey, but, like, just a lot of content possibilities and people throwing jabs at others, people polished. It was nice. Anyways, one of the topics that came up was player development, specifically in the confines of Purdue basketball and Fletcher Lawyer being an example of, like, well, he jumped up from like a 33% shooter. I'm making up numbers. I don't know if that's real. As a freshman to 42% as a sophomore. That's development. That's player development. And I like really pushed back on like, no, that's shooting variance. Like Fletcher just had a big time slump his freshman year. He's a great shooter. And then this got down a big rabbit hole of like, what teams are actually good at player development? What coaches are good at player development, right? Because you look through the Big Ten, it's like the examples Purdue fans are giving me about player development are going back to like 2007. Like, oh, Etwan Moore really got a lot better. Okay, what, 15 years ago? Like, if that's the fifth name on your list, how good is your program at player development? Illinois, how can we define what player development is at Illinois when they're so transfer heavy right now? Like, did Marcus Damask and Terrence Shannon get developed at Illinois, or did they come in as finished products that were misused? And at the same time, if those guys developed, why didn't Matthew Meyer develop? Why didn't Dane Danger develop? I think Michigan has stunk at player development for a while, and they've put more guys in the pros, even in the Juwan Howard era, than half these programs have combined. So I wouldn't call that player development. I would call that like talent acquisition and poor coaching. And then Michigan State, you've heard my spiel on Michigan State player development through the years. It's like they used to be great. Hasn't happened for a while. But to me, that's more recruiting than it is development stopped. I think Izzo can still develop players. It's just less talented players have been in the building. So I don't know. This is kind of an all over the place question, but I kind of just want your thoughts on this because you weren't really involved in the discussion today. Who do you think the best player development program is in the Big Ten? And then outside of that, too, like in college basketball?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is in college basketball is actually Kansas, just because I think Kansas does a great job of like even guys who don't go on to the next level, I think they've had a lot of guys who have developed, you know, they have like the Devontae Grahams, Frank Masons of the world. And then there was that stretch where they were just developing wings for the pros, like Jalen Wilson, Ochai Agbaji, Christian Brown. And then you go back even further, like they had guys like Embiid, even though they were highly rated guys. But like Kansas has always been really good at player development in my eyes. In the Big Ten, it's a little bit harder, but the first school that came to my mind, and it may be a little crazy, does Iowa need a shout and Fran McCaffrey need a shout in player development?
Really? Talk to me on that.
I mean, the
this is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They're all like lower rated guys, but I think they all entered college and got better by the time they let like both Murray twins, Luka Garza. Mm-hmm. And not only did he get those guys developed better, he turned those guys into all Americans. Mm-hmm. You had guys like Wieskamp come through the fold, even going back to like other players like the Peter Jocks of the world, the Andrew Whites. Like they had a lot of guys come through Iowa, not really prestigious guys, and just kind of been guys who have, I think, gotten better by the time they leave. I really used to like Michigan State when it came to this, but obviously, like you stated, the past couple of years, player development has been very, very seriously lacking. So I don't know, but I feel like saying Iowa in that fold doesn't feel right at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because there's like there's this cutoff where it's like I saw this happen on both sides with Beeline at Michigan because there was a time where Beeline could not get the best recruits, right? And so any good player he had at West Virginia or at Michigan was a guy that he developed or a guy that he found that was just way underrated by the recruiting services. And sometimes I think the word developed gets used when it's not even development. It's just like the recruiting ranking services stunk or like did not do their due diligence by this player. Sometimes you'll just stumble into a kid that's five-star ready that was rated as a two-star. That's not necessarily development. It's just a misrating. But Beeline was great at that, right? Like you think back to his early days, Stu Douglas and Zach Novak were guys that did not come in ready to be Big Ten starters and left 4 years later after being two-star recruits. And they were some of the best starters in the league. Trey Burke was going to go to Penn State. Beeline convinces him to come to Michigan. He's the national player of the year in 2 years. Of course there was some player development there. Tim Hardaway Jr., three-star to a 10-year NBA career. That's development. Then Beeline started getting star recruits, and we saw the opposite side of it too. Like, he started putting more guys in the pros when he got more four-star and five-star kids, but we also saw, like, Cam Chapman, one of the highest-rated recruits Beeline ever got. He never played in the NBA. Like Zach Irvin, I think Zach Irvin got better in college. Zach Irvin was supposed to be an NBA player if all went well. It didn't happen. So I kind of get frustrated when I hear like the development term being thrown around because I think every fan of their team is going to argue their program has great development if their program's in a healthy spot. And it to me, the range gets moved, like the needle gets moved to just make the argument that your coach is really good without much way to define what development actually means. Like, is Purdue a great program for development because Fletcher Lawyer shot 10% better from three this year? Or did they put the right people around Edie finally by like taking a guy in Ethan Morton who got worse over the course of his career, was a high rated recruit, by the way, got worse. Like, that's not development. So, but at the same time, Purdue's the best big development program in the sport, right? Like you, right. You know, if you're a Daniel Jacobson, a three-star, four-star kid, you're going to come in and by the time you leave, you're going to be polished and really good. So I don't know. It's just kind of one of those weird things. Like out of the Big Ten schools, if it was like Michigan State, Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, what one do you think is like the development school right now? Or is it all of them? Like is that not a question we can answer?
I think it's positionally different too. Like if I'm a wing, I want to go somewhere else to develop. If I'm maybe a big, I'd probably want to go to Purdue to develop. Like it'd be different in that regard as well. So like, I don't know. Also like if we're going to keep it a buck, Big Ten's probably not the first conference I'm going to if I want to develop. Like honestly, I look to the Big East to be a really good player development league. Like I think UConn does a great job with it. I think Villanova did do a great job of it before Neptune took over. Marquette, I think, does a good job. Like I think that the Big East does a great job of that like player development thing to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Who doesn't? Like I could do the same thing with ACC schools.
Yeah, like any good basketball team, I think like development. It's like the talent argument. It's just like a buzzword. Like if good players come through your program, you can paint it as development. You know,
it's something to make a nice graphic.
It is a nice graphic.
Developed sure. Here, developed in Purdue, developed in Mac.
With that said, Zach Edey is like the best player development story in a really long time, right?
Because if we're having a player development off, like that's the you really can't argue with that.
Purdue
like,
wins as long as that. they trump the Edey card.
Yeah, like you know, Brad's like, I mean. I took Terrence Shan from Texas. Yeah, I turned Zach Edey in from the 500th recruit in the country to the two-time National Player of the Year.
I just want to give a shout out to the one guy that no one will ever give any love to in this conversation. You want to talk real development?
You want?
Look at what Trace Jackson Davis was by the end of his senior year versus when Mike Woodson first got his hands on him. Look at what Jalen Hood-Schifino was by the end of his freshman year versus the first day he put on an Indiana uniform. That is in-season development.
And the list.
And list ended.
It's time for an exercise I like to call the NBA Draft Chaos Mock Draft. Okay, Cart, I didn't tell you what's going to happen in this exercise, but here we go. This is how this is going to work. We're going to do the entire first round. We're going to put, let's see, maybe 5 seconds on the clock for each team. I'm going to just Google NBA draft picks by team real quick. And when the team is on the clock, we're going to do a 3-second countdown. And then you and I are going to each say a name at the same time. It's probably going to be completely horrible to listen to. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. And if we say the same player name, that team selects that player. If we say a different name, we both have 5 seconds to convince each other why our name should be the name, and then we will redo the exercise. Okay?
I'm sweating.
So that's the exercise. Also, we need to say this, because this is the chaos draft. If on the second recount, we still don't say the same name, the pick is forfeited. The team doesn't even get a player because it's the chaos mock draft. Okay.
So we got to make sure on that second one that we are on the same page. Then.
You and I are truly in charge of the future of the NBA. And
it's the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. So, okay. I have the countdown clock right in front of me. I literally just need to pull up NBA draft picks by team so that I have that. Come on, ESPN. Don't let me down. Rounds. Here we go.
Horrible. I'm nervous.
You're nervous? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
why.
How it should be. It's the chaos mock. It should be nervous. Okay, so we have 3 seconds on the clock. The Atlanta Hawks are up at one. We're gonna say, are we doing who we would draft or who we think they should draft?
You tell me.
I don't know. It's the chaos draft. I guess what
if it's chaos, it's who we think they should. Who we think they should draft.
Okay, it's what we would do at one. Okay, Atlanta Hawks on the clock at one. 3, 2, 1. Donovan Clingan. When we don't say the same name, you always go first in the rebuttal. Okay, so you have 5 seconds on the clock. Explain to me, Alex Sarr.
Alex Sarr has the length. He can be a unicorn. He's Wembley light.
Donovan Clingan is who they're actually going to pick because Alex Sarr doesn't want to play there. Never draft someone who doesn't want to play there. 3, 2, 1. Donovan Clingan. You're not allowed to play that game.
Why?
Because that's not how this works.
What did I get wrong?
You waited for me. You waited for me, and then you said what I said.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Washington Wizards are up next. 3, 2, 1. Alex Sarr. Good job. Take a deep breath while I write in the name so we don't draft the same player.
I hate this so much.
It's the chaos draft. Houston Rockets are up at 3, 3, 2, 1. Stephon Castle. Go.
He could fit right in. They don't need star players. They need role players.
You had 2 seconds to spare. That was good. I'm not even going to argue you into Castle. I like the Reed Shepard shot. Shepard at 3.
So we don't got to do the 3, 2, 1.
We don't have to do it. If one of us convinces the other one, that works. Okay, at 4, San Antonio Spurs. 3, 2, 1. Matas
Rob Pudels. Dillingham. They need a point guard.
That's it? Okay. Yes. 5 seconds for me. They can get a point guard at 8. Best players available is Bouzelis. By far, they got to get him.
That's a great 5 seconds, Bouzelis.
Bouzelis at 4. Okay.
Damn it. You took him from us.
Bouzelis at 4. Pistons at 5. 3, 2, 1. Stephon
Cody Pistons. Williams. Do I have my 5 seconds now?
Yeah, all right, 5 seconds. Go.
Oh, no. Stephon Castle wants to be a point guard. He can't be the point guard in the Pistons.
It doesn't matter what Stephon Castle wants. He's better.
Then can Kate Cuddy? No, we can go again.
Okay, this is a big moment. We're going again. 3, 2, 1. Stephon Castle. You didn't say. Did we forfeit?
Yes.
We forfeited the pick.
This is the worst. Why would you? This is like...
Our own Pistons forfeited the pick. Stephon Castle still on the board. Charlotte Hornets at 6. 3, 2, 1. Rob Stephon Dillingham.
Castle. Why would they pick Rob Dillingham when they have LaMelo Ball? Start the five. There you go.
Because he's the hometown kid, and him and LaMelo is the most fun thing ever. 3, 2, 1. Rob Stephon
Castle.
Okay, the Hornets forfeited too.
This is so stupid.
It's so stupid. I love it. 7th overall pick is the Portland Trailblazers. Just a quick recap. Donovan Klingon went 1. Alex Sarr 2. Reed Shepard 3. Matis Puzelis 4. The Pistons and the Hornets forfeited their picks at 5 and 6. The Portland Trailblazers are up next at 7. 3, 2, 1. Stephon Castle.
Okay.
Good pick. Right. Good pick. To number 8, it's the San Antonio Spurs, who still need a point guard. 3, 2, 1, Rob Dillingham. Buzelis and Dillingham at 8 for the Spurs is special. 9, the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, I don't have a name ready at all. 3, 2, 1, Zach
Dog
Edey.
Dog Connect. Who'd you say?
Zach Edey.
I said Dog Connect.
5 seconds, go.
I don't even need the 5. I like Zach Edey because Jaren Jackson can play the 4.
They want a center. It's a center. It's a center. He's the best center. Okay. Zach Edey is the pick at 9, officially. Okay. Utah Jazz at 10. 3, 2, 1. Dalton Connect. Connect at 10. Love that fit in Utah. Okay. We are 1/3 of the way through this. How do you think it's going?
I'm not having a good time.
11, the Chicago Bulls. 3, 2, 1, Devin Carter. Hey!
All right.
I didn't expect that, but this is getting better, I feel like.
Right. We're locked in.
12, Oklahoma City Thunder. 3, 2, 1, Khalil
Ron
Ware.
Holland. Khalil Ware and Chet Holmgren?
You said five seconds. Ron Holland, go ahead.
I think that they need to move on from Lu Dort, and I think Ron Holland might be a better version of Lu Dort.
I thought you were going to say Cody Williams. I can't believe you didn't. I was just doing this to cause some chaos.
I forgot we had him.
We now have to pick the players. The chaos draft. 3, 2, 1. Ron Holland. Cody Williams wasn't even available. It's Ron Holland or Khalil Ware.
You just said he was.
You nominated Ron Holland. I nominated Khalil Ware.
So why can't I say Cody Williams?
Because he wasn't one of the nominated names.
Oh, the first two are nominees.
The Thunder just forfeited their pick at 12. The Chaos Draft moves on to the 13th overall pick. It's the Sacramento Kings. 3, 2, 1, Cody Williams.
Cody Williams.
That's the dumbest thing we've ever done. 14 is the Portland Trailblazers, who picked Stephon Castle at 7. 3, 2, 1, Risachet.
Tijan.
You said Tijani Salon?
Yeah, I didn't want to do the last name.
Okay. You have 5 seconds. Go.
I don't care. They're both French.
Risachet is the better prospect.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Okay, so Risachet goes 14th. Do we want to do the rest of this or do we want to stop?
I want to stop.
We're going to stop and just call that the lottery. That's the dumbest thing we've ever done.
Good Lord, I'm so scared.
So to recap, Donovan Klingon at 1 to the Atlanta Hawks. Alex Sarr at 2 to the Wizards. Reed Shepard at 3 to the Houston Rockets. Matis Buzelis at 4 to the Spurs. The Detroit Pistons forfeited their pick at 5. The Charlotte Hornets forfeited their pick at 6. Stephon Castle, 7 to the Blazers. Rob Dillingham, 8 to the Spurs. Zach Edey, 9 to the Grizzlies. Dalton Connect, 10 to the Jazz. Devin Carter, 11 to the Bulls. The Oklahoma City Thunder forfeited their pick after Carter picked someone who wasn't even nominated. Cody Williams at 13 to the Kings. And Zachary Risachet at 14 to the Blazers.
I'm so high strung.
Let's go to a topic next that I know you're going to hate even more than that one. In the spirit of Purdue versus Indiana versus Illinois, now that Will Riley has been added to the Illini, I think it's time for a little exercise, my friend. I want to go through every player on those three teams. I want to rank them in order. It's as simple as that. It's a very simple exercise, Carter. Super simple exercise. Any thoughts? Okay, what
are the any factors in this? Anything I need?
No
like
factors.
Are these guys playing together? Am I just picking the best player no matter what? Like,
simply
what?
Put like this. This is the way I would put it. You would take the first player over the second player. You would take the second player over the third player. Just in a head-to-head evaluation, think of it that way. Don't ever think fit. Just think best player overall. You would take this guy or that guy. And I think by the end of this exercise, I hope we can kind of draw some conclusions. I'm like, here's this team has all these guys here. Illinois is supposed to be super deep. Indiana is supposed to be deep, but also kind of top heavy. They're just talented. Purdue has maybe the best player and then a bunch of question marks. So could be fun, could be awful. We're also probably going to do our top 50 Big Ten players at some point, and maybe this will be a good predecessor to that.
You're shaped like a predecessor.
This is going to have a lot less thought than the future list, though. Also, that makes no sense. I feel like you're brain dead at this point. Who's the best player from Indiana, Illinois, and Purdue combined? It's Braden Smith, right?
Yes.
Without much hesitation.
There was a little bit, but yes.
Okay. Braden Smith is off the board. Next up, we could nominate. I know you've had some disputes on this. The best player on Indiana could either probably be Mbako, Renew, or Balo. Next up from Purdue, I think would have to be either Fletcher or TKR, or you could convince me Heidi. And then from Illinois, it's probably Boswell or Kasparis or Will Riley.
I would go either Balo or Renew at this spot.
You think Balo, Renew are 2-3, no matter what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go Balo 2, because I feel strongly about that. We'll go Malik, Renew 3.
Okay.
Okay, so Purdue, Indiana through 1, 2, 3. Now we have Mackenzie Mbako. We have like Fletcher Lawyer, Heidi, TKR, or we have anybody on Illinois. Boswell, KJ, Humrickhouse, Merez, Will Riley. Take your pick. I would stand very hard here for Mbako.
That's where I was going to go as well.
Okay, so Indiana has 3 of the top 4. Outside of Indiana's big 3, I think the next name I would move to for Indiana is either Miles Rice, or I know you like Trey Galloway a lot, but to me, I think it's probably Miles Rice next up from Indiana.
Yeah.
This is where it gets interesting.
Are you taking Miles Rice or are you taking Fletcher Lawyer?
In just a straight up, do I believe in this player more than that player?
Yeah.
It gets tough because I think Fletcher's going to look a lot different this year than he has in the past. Maybe featured a little more. It's tough. Is there anyone on Illinois you take over either of those guys? Like, to me, I think the best name for Illinois is either Boswell or Will Riley. Those are my top two.
I would maybe make an argument for Riley up here somewhere. I would take Rice over Boswell. I'd probably take Boswell over Lawyer as well.
You would take Rice over Boswell?
Yes.
I think I would take Bos over Rice. Can you give me the quick why Miles Rice is better than Boswell?
Because whenever anyone tries to convince me that Boswell is better than someone, they always bring up how young he is first.
I like that. Okay. So, and we think we like both of these guys better than the shooting guard that's won the Big Ten twice in a row, hasn't lost a non-conference game, and was just in the national title game.
Oh, yeah, I do.
And had Tennessee in hell early in the season. Had mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to go Miles Rice at 5.
Yes.
So just to recap, of the teams that everyone thinks are the 3 best teams in the Big Ten, Braden Smith is 1, and then 4 Indiana players are next. And people tell me I'm too high on Indiana. That's how there are 4 players on Indiana you would take before the first name on Illinois cart?
Yes.
Crazy.
I mean, the thing is, though, with the guys that I'm picking too, though, like, I know what those guys look like. I have no clue what Kasparis is going to look like. I have no clue what Will Riley is going to look like.
Yeah. But I mean, this comes down to belief.
Yeah, belief, talent-wise, they could be in the top 5 easily. But, like, I I have a hard time projecting because I have not seen it.
Comes down to belief. Okay, so I would like to make a notion.
Please note.
I'm also going to crack a seltzer. I'd like to make a notion.
Okay.
I think Trey Kaufman Wren is actually the name that should come off the board before Fletcher.
Ooh, wow. That's a statement.
Anytime that Edie wasn't on the team, TKR was the most impressive guy to me. Going back to the summer shit last year, going back to games Edie was in foul trouble, TKR always went off.
I got to fight for my Fletch here. I think he should be on there before TKR.
I just let you have Miles Rice over Boz. I don't know if I can let you have two straight wins, but okay. So right now the names in contention are Fletch, TKR, still Boswell, and
you got to eventually take control and put Boswell up there. Just you got to get over how I feel about him. He's a two-year starter, at least one-year starter.
Let's get in a rhythm with this real quick. He was a one-year starter. For Indiana, who's the next name off the board? Are you going to say Carlisle or are you going to say Galloway?
Galloway.
I would argue hard for Carlisle, but either way, we have a little while until those names?
Yes, I think so.
So yeah. We have a run of either Illinois or Purdue players coming. In that sense, I would say Kylan Boswell should be six.
Over Lawyer, over
TKR. Lawyer, over TKR. And then the next hypothetical becomes, are you taking Will Riley or are you taking Fletcher Lawyer?
Okay. I'll give you Bam Bam six.
Are you taking Will Riley or Fletcher Lawyer?
I'm taking Fletch.
Are you taking Will Riley or TKR?
Taking Will Riley.
So in your order, it's Fletch, Will Riley, TKR.
Yes.
I think mine would be slightly different. I would argue Will Riley at seven, Fletch at eight, TKR at nine, or TKR at eight, Fletch at nine.
I don't got too much pushback on that.
Can we put the five-star likely NBA lottery pick guy at seven?
Yes.
Okay. Will Riley, seven. Fletcher Lawyer, eight. I'll give you him over TKR. TKR, nine. I still think strongly at the end of the year, we come back to this, we have TKR at nine, we're going to feel crazy. So that Braden Smith, Umar Bala, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, Miles Rice, Kylan Boswell, Will Riley, Fletcher Lawyer, TKR. So through the top nine, four Indiana, three Purdue, two Illinois. The next names off the list would either be Cam Heidi, Miles Colvin. You can make a weird flip for Daniel Jacobson or one of the other Purdue freshmen. But I think it's Heidi and Colvin next. Indiana is still Galloway or Carlisle. Illinois is wide open where we don't know what to do. This could be Humrickhouse. This could be Kasparis. This could be Merez. This could be Ivicic, Trey White, Ty Rogers.
I'm going, you know where I want to go here.
Merez?
Nah.
Kasparis?
Nah.
Not an Illinois player?
Not an Illinois player.
Humrickhouse?
Yes.
Let me do this real quick. Humrickhouse or Trey Galloway?
Humrickhouse.
I think I strongly disagree with that.
You sure?
Galloway was really productive last year. He just didn't make shots, and I believe in the shot.
Okay, so you believe in the shot.
I mean, Galloway last year was 11, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and a steal. We think Hummer's doing that?
Yeah.
I think Cam Heidi's doing more than both.
I'll give you Heidi over Humrickhouse, but I want Humrickhouse right behind Heidi.
So we're going to go Cam Heidi. Like, if just straight up, if I'm Illinois, if Illinois could have Cam Heidi next year, Humrickhouse, you telling me they're taking Hummer for sure?
For next season?
Yeah.
It's one off.
Sure. I believe in Heidi that much. I would take Heidi over one season of whatever you think Hummer is. But I'm a lot lower on Hummer than you. I would have a lot of other Illinois guys above Hummer.
Please not call him Hummer.
We can't call him humidifier.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they wouldn't admit it, but they would probably take Heidi.
I'd be real hype about Heidi. I would.
All right, I'll go Heidi. Heidi, then Cam Rickhouse.
Cam Heidi 10 will put Cam Rickhouse 11, but I hate that. This is where I would argue strongly a big run of Illinois guys, though. Like Kasparis, Merez, and then a Visage, Trey White are hovering. Ty Rogers, too. To me, like Kasparis and Merez have to come off the board quickly, though.
The thing, okay, so I'll go Kasparis, Merez, Big T. Then I would work my way to the other Indiana guys in whichever form you want to, like Carlisle, Galloway. Then work my way to Purdue.
Back to Cole.
And then at the end, like throw like Ty Rogers and them there.
Notion.
Okay.
I would have put Kasparis ahead of Humrichhaus, by the way, by a lot. Just want to say that. Notion.
That's noted.
I'm also putting aside my Merez feelings for the betterment of what the consensus will be here. If this was my list, Merez would be fifth.
I hate when you put aside your feelings.
Kasparis, Merez, Galloway. No, excuse me. Kasparis, Merez, Carlisle, Galloway, Colvin, Visage, in that order. What do you have a problem with?
Visage behind Colvin.
Yeah, I am a Visage skeptic. His brother's the better player, and his brother was not good last year.
I want to fight for Big T above Colvin. But I want to make sure I approach this correctly.
Completely unproven. Can I lock in the other ones just to make this easy? So Kasparis 12.
Yes.
Kasparis 12. Who am I missing from? Oh, Merez 13. Carlisle 14. Trey Galloway 15, which feels kind of low to me, honestly. And then 16, 17 is either Colvin or Big T.
Oh, okay. I realized I didn't want to fight as hard as I felt like I needed to.
I realized something. I would take Trey White over both those guys.
I would not.
I'm not a Trey White guy at all, but I think, like, I don't think Miles Colvin would have been 12-6 last year at Louisville.
I think TJ White is just a serial loser of basketball games.
It's Trey White.
Well, when you combine TJ Bamba and Trey White, they're the same guy. They are, wherever they go, losing basketball follows them. It's not a coincidence. It's because they're on the team.
I'll give you a Visage over Colvin if you give me Trey White over a Visage.
No.
So Miles Colvin then at 16.
I might fight for Ty Rogers over Trey White.
Tom Visage 17. Trey White has to be 18. So at this point, it becomes Trey White, Ty Rogers, Kerry Booth, DGL from the Illinois side versus Bryson Tucker, Luke Goody from the Indiana side. And then from Purdue, we just ranked Miles Colvin.
Freshman, so Jacobson, Cox.
Jacobson, Cox, first, Jakari, Berg, Burgess.
So we last.
You taking Daniel Jacobson or Tom Visage?
Visage.
It's the wrong answer by a lot. I'm sorry I forgot about Daniel Jacobson until now, Purdue fans. I would have been arguing this 5 picks ago.
Over.
At least a Visage.
Okay, so really just a Visage.
I would have had Daniel Jacobson over Hummer.
Oh, man. Would you have him over Colvin?
Yeah.
You have him over Heidi?
No.
Would you have him over Kasparis?
Be close.
Oh, word.
Be close. I think he belongs right around there.
My word.
Oh. Where did On3 have Kasparis? 59th or something?
56.
Where's Jacobson? Like 10 spots lower?
I think he was like hundreds, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's semantics. I don't want to rank the rest of these players.
We have to.
Okay. I mean, it's just like none of these guys are really separating themselves from if anybody's separating themselves from the pack, I think it would be the Indiana bench guys. So like
Let's just go guy by guy again. Bryson Tucker, I think, is the next best Indiana guy. So then Bryson,
I would go Luke Goody over like the DGLs of the world and those guys.
Bryson Tucker versus Trey White versus Daniel Jacobson is the current this, that, or that. I think Trey White needs to be here.
Okay. I would go Bryson Tucker, then Trey White.
Trey White, 18. Are you going Bryson Tucker over Daniel Jacobson?
Yes.
I'll give you that, but I think this is super low. So, okay, Trey White, 18, Bryson Tucker, 19, Daniel Jacobson, 20. Who's the next name up for Purdue? Could be Caleb first, could be Jakari Harris, could be CJ Cox.
I'm going to buy the national team hype here.
Jakari Harris.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up for Illinois would be Ty Rogers, Kerry Booth, DGL.
I feel like we got him. Do we have to put Ty Rogers above Jakari Harris?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I would put Ty Rogers 21.
Okay.
He started on good teams.
Yes.
I would put Kerry Booth 22. There's some upside.
Okay.
And the next name for Illinois is Luke Goody, or for Indiana is Luke Goody. So Luke Goody, Jakari Harris, DGL
yeah.
is the current toss up.
Man.
I think this is easy.
Harris?
I would go DGL. I still believe in DGL.
Okay.
I would go Jakari Harris, 24. I would go Luke Goody, 25.
Luke Goody played on good teams too.
Yeah. But if you're picking a guy, you would do what Illinois did, and it's give me DGL, not Luke Goody.
I guess. I hate the bottom of this list.
Let's see how much further we have to go.
Don't make me pick Will Burke.
I mean, Indiana's only names left are Gabe Cupps, Anthony Leal, Ja'Kai Newton, Langdon Hatton.
I kind of like Ja'Kai Newton, for what it's worth.
Let's see here. Purdue's next names are Will Burke, Brian Waddell, Caleb First, CJ Cox. I kind of like CJ Cox for what it's worth. And then Illinois' last ones are Jason Jackson, Jake Davis, Keaton Kutcher, Max Williams. So why don't we each pick one more name from each roster?
Okay.
I think it would be Jake Davis, CJ Cox, and Ja'Kai Newton.
I'll take Ja'Kai Newton. I'll take Caleb First.
Oh, wow. Okay, you jumped me.
And
over CJ Cox?
Yeah.
I'm going to put CJ Cox at 28 then, though.
Okay, that's fine.
It was nice.
Yeah.
So let's get to 30. We're at 28. We have Jake Davis left, and we need one more name. Indiana could be Gabe Cupps, Anthony Leal, Langdon Hatton's probably the right name.
Langdon Hatton's probably the right name, but it's our list, and I want Gabe Cupps on it.
Okay, so 29 is going to be Jake Davis, and 30 is going to be Gabe Cupps.
Let's go.
So the top 30 players on Illinois, Indiana, and Purdue. Braden Smith, Umar Ballo, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, Miles Rice. That is four Indiana players in the top five. Kylan Boswell, Will Riley, Fletcher Lawyer, TKR, Cam Heidi. Two Illinois players in the top 10, four Purdue, four Indiana. Benham Rickhouse, Kasparis Jackashonis, Merez Johnson, 11, 12, 13. So in the top 13, Illinois has five, Indiana and Purdue have four. So that's Illinois is deeper. We're learning this. 14, Cannon Carlisle, 15, Trey Galloway, 16, Miles Colvin, 17, Avisage, 18, Trey White, 19, Bryson Tucker, 20, Daniel Jacobson, 21, Ty Rogers, Kerry Booth, DGL, Jakari Harris, Luke Goody, Ja'Kai Newton, Caleb First, CJ Cox, Jake Davis, Gabe Cupps. Anything jump out to you is completely wrong.
No, I actually really love this list, I think.
It's a fun exercise. What's your takeaway from doing this exercise?
Woodson better not blow it.
My takeaway is he can't possibly blow it. This team's way more talented than the other contenders.
My dad always taught me, never said the words can't when Mike Woodson's in the conversation.
One big thing presented by us, presented by two nobodies that nobody cares about. What's your one big thing?
So I shot 100 this past weekend, and one of the main great parts about my 100 was I was special in the short game. If I was willing to chip within like 50 yards or something like that, I was in a sweet spot there. I have 5 golf balls lined up behind me, and I have this little mug thing right here. I'm going to walk back here, and I'm going to chip 5 golf balls, and I am going to get one in there. Greg, what is my punishment if I don't get one golf ball into this thing?
You have to swallow a golf ball.
Okay, what's the secondary punishment?
You cannot use any form of entertainment on the flight to Baltimore later this week.
Okay, deal. Sorry for anyone who's doing the audio version of this.
I'll narrate. Carlo can slim. Also, what are you, 4 feet away?
I mean, my basement's not that bad. I mean, I can.
Like, guy's talking about, like, oh, yeah, give me a nice little chip. He's literally 3.5 feet. He's the Rory McIlroy putt away.
Well, like, how far do you want me to put it? I'm in my basement.
I mean, you're just going to putt with a pitching wedge. It's going to be fine.
No, it's off the ground. It's elevated.
So you're going to land the ball in that. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
He was practicing this in between segments, by the way.
All right, ball number one. That's the closest I've come.
Yeah, I mean, that hit and bounced off. You're not going to do this if you got that excited about a miss. You're also hitting your wall in your backswing. 0 for 2, he dribbled one. 0 for 3 long. I like your form, though. This looks a lot better than previous short game I've seen from you. He dribbles the second one. We have one left, Cart. Wait, time out. Take a 30. How are we feeling?
So I don't have my 58 or my 60. So this
for making excuses.
Yeah, so this is a dual wedge that I picked up at Maple Lane Golf Course that somebody left on the 7th green. And I just been using it as like my little short game wedge.
I go, oh, so we're making excuses. He goes, yeah.
Yeah. 1,000% making excuses. All right, here we go.
One more. This is for it all.
Can I get 2 more?
Yeah, I'll give you 1 more.
All right, thanks.
Already thinking about the next one. That means he's not going to make this one. That one was close, but off the front. Final attempt. A lot of movement in the lower half there.
Well, I was walking it off like I was going to get it in.
Yeah, it didn't happen. All right. So now you have to fly to Baltimore. It's about a 90-minute flight from Detroit, from my research. And you are not allowed to use your phone or headphones or even a magazine, nothing. You just have to sit there like a psychopath for 90 minutes on a flight.
Can I read?
No. That's a form of entertainment.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to tell Meg this. Meg is in charge. Meg is your handler, Queen Meg. And she's going to have to make sure that you do nothing.
First of all, ain't nobody getting handled, cuz. I does the handling.
That was a fun one big thing. Thanks, Cart. My one big thing, I want to give a shout out to McDonald's because it dawned on me today as I was getting McDonald's breakfast on the way home from vacation that McDonald's and their packaging of their breakfast sandwiches, they do a great job. They just write the name of what you ordered on the packaging. I love it. I wish every place did this. It's stupid. It's
get a McGriddle?
Yeah. Like you, if I get a McGriddle and my wife gets a McMuffin and you reach your hand in the bag and they're the same size, I don't want to have to open those up and see which one is which. You don't have to at McDonald's because one says sausage McMuffin and one says sausage McGriddle. It's perfect. It's genius. Nice. Love it.
Mal always struck me as a hotcakes at McDonald's order.
No, never. We are big hash brown McDonald's people, though. Also, shout out McDonald's iced coffee. Got a McDonald's iced coffee for the first time this weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah, really. Trader Joe's hash browns kill McDonald's hash browns. I want to throw that out there. Also, I'm gonna have some explaining to do. A couple of those chips definitely dribbled into the bar section and might have scuffed the paint on the green.
Yeah, that's not great. Thanks for watching the show. Appreciate you, Cart. We'll see you guys later this week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.